Well, we are delighted tonight to have our good friend and colleague, Miss Margaret Russell, with us. I announced this morning that Margaret was in Kenya for 25 years. Well, she's just only after informing me she's been there for 29 years. Margaret, you don't look as if you've been there 29 years. I better say that. But it is a privilege to have you here tonight. And we always look forward to you coming, and we pray for you on a weekly basis. And we want you to know that you're very much in our prayers as one of our missionaries. Now, Margaret has a prayer card with her tonight. Of course, all the missionaries continually need our support, not only prayerfully, but financially as well. And of course, Margaret is no different than any of our other missionaries. If you'd like to take one of the prayer cards, feel free to take one anyway. But if you'd like to support her on a covenant basis, on a more regular basis, then the details are on that little card. And there will be a retiring offering at the end of the meeting, could I say that? And that retiring offering will be going in its entirety to Margaret and the work that she does in Kenya. So I'd ask you to please remember that as you leave the meeting tonight. She's going to give her testimony, and she's going to tell us about the work in Kenya and how the Lord has blessed her. And after that, if she wants to preach as well, she's very, very welcome. Margaret, God bless you.
Well, it's great to have such liberty here tonight. It's good to be back in Enniskillen, and I am very happy to be here, and I want to thank our brother for those warm words of welcome here. I've already been encouraged because I've been in the prayer meeting before the meeting, and it's great encouragement to be prayed for and to know how people are kept up to date with the work. So I'm already encouraged tonight, and it is a joy to be here. And at the outset, I would like to thank you for your prayers and for your financial help over these years. I have been in Kenya, yes, 29 years. I'm now in my 30th year. But I've been there because of the supports and the prayers of God's people. And we are labourers together with God. And many have been so faithful at the throne of grace, praying for me, and also with their giving. And I do appreciate that very much indeed. I would like at the beginning to give a short word of testimony, and it's always good to talk about the most important day in your life. And that day was the day when God saved me. And that brought about a change in my life, the change in the whole direction in my life. Not that I was in the world, but I was not saved. I was a sinner, and I needed a saviour. I thank God there's so many things now when you get older and you look back, you can see those things that were really had an impression on your life and really even contributed to how you were able to stay on the mission field. And one of them was my upbringing. And I thank God for my parents and for how they brought me up. My father was very strict, extremely strict. Even though he wasn't saved, it really amazes me that even though he didn't know the Lord as his Savior, he knew God's commandments. And I just wish we had more of that knowledge, even in our own land and also in Kenya tonight. And my father made us obey God's commandments. The Lord's Day was a special day in our home. And God's house was a special place. I often tell the people in Kenya, and I tell the children in Kenya, how I used to sit in church. And there was eight in our family, eight children. And we were lined up in a pew in the Presbyterian Church, you know, the way you had your pew. And my father was at the end, and there was always a discussion on the way home as to who was bad today and who would get the cane. And I can remember those days very well, and it was always a lot of disagreement as to who deserved to be disciplined when you got home. But I won't forget that ever in my life. And the Lord's Day was a day to be kept, and just so many things about her upbringing has really had an impression upon me, and an indelible impression upon my life. Even though I attended the Presbyterian Church, and there was a minister there then who did not preach the gospel, he preached a gospel of works. And he taught us how to treat our fellow men and how to be good people. And as we would say in Kenya, good citizens. My parents sent us to every mission that was in the area. I think any mission, brethren or whatever denomination was having a mission, faith mission, any mission was there, we were all sent along to those missions. And my mother was not saved even at that time as well, but they sent us to those meetings. And I remember even as a teenager, particularly when I went into my teens, after hearing the gospel and realizing that I was not saved, coming home at night and being really concerned about my soul. And I remember asking the Lord to save me on several occasions, but I had no assurance that I was saved. And that went on into my teenage years. And we still attended those meetings, and we were under the sound of the gospel. And I do praise God for that as well. But something happened in our home again that has had an impression upon me for the rest of my life. And that was that my father, 46 years of age, took ill with a heart attack, and he was taken into hospital. And it was while he was in hospital that he came to know the Lord as a Savior, that he had that assurance that he was right with God. And it was just a few days afterwards that he died and was taken home to glory. And I remember again that incident very well. And what I remember so much about it was, you know, my mother used to say to me, he was so young. Well, you know, I was 16 and I thought he was ancient. But you know, now I realize how young he was. But one thing I didn't think about how young he was and how we would miss him as father. But I remember thinking, my father has got saved, because, you know, the man who visited him in hospital told us that he had trusted Christ and he had got saved. And whenever he was brought home, I remember looking at him in the coffin. And to this day, I remember that, even though it's 41 years ago. And I remember thinking, now he's in glory. But if it had been you, you'd be lost forever. And that really terrified me. And I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight not saved? And if anything was to happen to you tonight, it doesn't matter if you're young or older, because we cannot guarantee. And if anything was to happen to you today, where would you be? And I would just urge you to get right with the Lord. But I went on for a year after that, and we used to go to a little mission hall on a Sunday night with my mother, and we heard the gospel. And again, I could say I was continuously concerned about my soul. And one night I went into that mission hall, and in my heart I determined, this night I'm going to get saved. And during the message, I cried to God to save me. And I came out of that meeting. I don't know what the preacher was preaching about, but I came out of the meeting and I had a real assurance in my heart that I'm saved. And I've never doubted my salvation from that day to this. And I thank God for that. And it brought about not an outward change so much, but inwardly. I knew there was a great change that had taken place in my heart and in my life. Shortly after that, I went to Belfast to train as a nurse. I was still very young. I was just 17 and a half. And I went down to Belfast, and I met up actually with nurses from who were saved. They were Free Presbyterians, and some of them were from OMA. Esther Aiken, I'm sure you know her. And there were other girls from Belfast who were saved, and we, even though there were a lot of Roman Catholic nurses there, there was a group of nurses who were saved, and they were real encouragement to me. But actually, they give me quite a hard time as well, because they started to tell me about the ecumenical movement and about apostasy of the Presbyterian Church and those type of things. And I must say, I didn't really like it. And I remember I went to the Martyrs Memorial with one of them, and I did not appreciate the preaching there at all, even though I was saved and I knew the Lord. But I can remember well complaining about that type of preaching. But you know, the Lord spoke to me just after that. I was in the church in Omagh one night, and the Reverend Reggie Cranston was preaching, and the Lord spoke to me that night about separating from the apostasy. And I remember coming home to my mother and saying to her, I'm not going back to the church next Sunday in the Presbyterian church. And she was not pleased, and neither was the rest of my family. But I thank God for that stand that I was able to take. I had no means of getting to church, but we had a neighbour who went to the Free Presbyterian Church in Tundragee, and so I got a lift to that church. And I can't go into all the details, but the Lord really blessed me as a young person when I went to the church there. My soul was like starved. I thank God for the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I got involved in the youth fellowship. I got involved in the children's work in the church there. And God, really, I grew in grace. There's so much I could tell you, but I remember listening to people talking about how God spoke to them through His Word. And I used to think, well, I don't know, I've never been spoken to that through the Word. But I can remember the first night that God spoke to me, not about missionary work, but speaking to my heart and to my soul. And I thank God for that growth in grace. I used to listen to people testify, and I thought I could never do that. But God, again, as you serve God and you're amongst God's people, and I went on with the Lord, and I thank God for His hand upon me. And then I began to think, as I finished my training as a nurse, I began to wonder, is there something more in life for me? I remember I had finished nursing, I'd done midwifery, and I was on the district around the streets of Belfast. And I remember driving around those streets to visit patients, and I often thought, is there not something more in my life that God would have me do? Not that I was despising it, but I just had that feeling and that conviction that there was something more for me. And so I began to pray much about that. And I was very concerned and very afraid that this was just a notion I had. And I prayed much about it and sought the Lord much about it. And we went to missionary weekends, which I also thank the Lord for, because the claims of the mission field was placed before us as young people. And I know there are many young people here tonight. And I would just even press those claims upon you, as others did on me when I was a young person, that there is a great field out there, harvest field. And the Word of God tells us to lift up our eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There is a field here in Enniskillen. There are fields all around us, but there is the foreign field as well. And the field needs labourers. And who are the labourers? The labourers are those whom God has saved and who God is working in their hearts and lives and who have heard God's call. And I wonder, is there a young person here tonight, or how many young people in the meeting tonight would be ready to go if God called them to go? And I want to testify tonight that it is a great work. And even though it is difficult, I do praise and thank the Lord that it's such a privilege that God has given to me to serve Him on the field. And if God would touch your heart and touch your life, do not fear. Go forward to the work of God and to the work of the Lord, even on the home front or even on the foreign field. And God continued to work in my life, and He confirmed to me that it was His will to go to the land of Kenya. And I thank God that from the day I went to Kenya to now, that I've never doubted that that was the place that God called me to. And you know, even when the going has been rough, and when everything seems to be against us, in the work of God, I've always that assurance and confidence that I'm here because God called me here. And there's times when you would feel like going home, but you always ask yourself the question, why are you here? Are you here because you thought it was going to be easy? Or are you here because God called you? And God has not shown me that I should go home. And so therefore I continue in the work of God. I would just like to read a few verses of scripture tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 6 to 9. First Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 6 to 9. And it may be that while I abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I just want tonight to talk to you about the great door that God has opened in the land of Kenya. And this portion of the Word of God, we've often thought about it, but I was thinking again about it recently. And the door that God has opened in Kenya is a great door. And it's great for many reasons. It's great because God has given us all those years to serve him there and helped us to stay and continue in the work of the Lord. He has opened the door for us. But you know, we're classed in Kenya as aliens. And we hold this little ID card, and it's called an alien registration. I remember when I heard that first and looked at that card, I really felt like somebody from outer space. And I wondered why they called us aliens. Not that there is any animosity toward us, but that is just the name that they use. But you know, we're there at the grace of the Kenyan government and the immigration department. And we do have to get our permits renewed every 2, 3, or 4 years. It used to be 4 years, then they cut it down to 3 years. And then this year, Gillian got her permit renewed, and she just got 2 years. But the door has been kept open, but every so often, you have to apply for the renewal of your entry permit. But we thank God that he has kept that door open for all those years. Also, I thank God that he has given me the health and strength and safety to serve him in Kenya all these years. It's not something that I take for granted, because I know that sickness is just part of life, and especially as you get older. But I thank God that he's kept me in good health, and he's given me this opportunity to serve him for those years. And I know I have nothing to boast about tonight, but it's all of grace and of God's goodness to me, and as a result of your prayers. And he's given me that health to serve him there. I thank God that he's given me safety to stay there. I would have to be honest tonight and say that Kenya is not the safest place to be in the world tonight. I know there's nowhere really safe, and we are in the Lord's hands and in his care and keeping. But humanly speaking, there are so many dangers in Kenya tonight, but God has kept me safe and kept his hand upon me all these years. So it is a great door because of that. I'll talk a bit more about Kenya in a moment. It's also a great door because God has brought others over, many over to help us there in Kenya. I thank God for all who have come out to help us. There are some, I should not forget, the young people who have come out to help us even short term. We had two young men during the summer, Julian Patterson and Aaron Fitzsimons, and they're home. And we've had Stephen Kyle from Kilkeel. He's been there, I think, for about since August. and he's due home, I think, this week. So we thank God for even those people who come out on short-term basis to help us. But I'm thinking particularly of the missionaries who have come over to help us, and I thank God for them. I think of Gillian, who has been there almost 20 years on the field, and God has kept her there and given her a ministry. Recently, she moved a little further away from the nest, if you would like to say, and she went down to a place called Kakamega, as you know. It's 3 hours' drive from us. And God has helped her down there. He's given her a very secure place to live in, and he's undertaken for in the ministry in that area. Kenya is a very big country, and we have 43 tribes in Kenya. And depending on the community, as they talk about out there, the community that you're working with, work can be quite different, even within the country. And the work in Gillian's side of the country is somewhat different than it is up in Kapunguria. But God has undertaken for her and helped her. I thank God also for Noreen McAfee, who's been there over 10 years, and the Lord has blessed her, particularly in the area of the school. And the Lord continues to provide for her and to provide for the work that she's involved in. And she values your prayers tonight as well. And also for Kathy, who's been there, I'm not sure, probably over 6 years. The Lord is blessing her ministry. She helps in the bookshops. She teaches piano in the school and also trains the school choir and also the choirs in the church of BCFC. So the Lord has undertaken for her also, and we thank God for that. We had the Reverend DeCanio with us for 2 years, and he helped us in Bible college, and we did appreciate his ministry. And as you know, he's now in Liberia. I hear you've had the Reverend Patterson with you this week, and I do urge you to continue to pray. We thank God that God has put his hand upon his life and called him to come out to Kenya to help us. So it is a great door that God has opened there in the land. But of course, we thank God for the door that is opened as we work with the BCFC there in Kapunguria. And I do thank God for how they have helped me over the years since I went out there. You know, as you look back on those years, I thank God for them because, you know, when I went out at the beginning, I obviously made many mistakes, and they corrected me. And we're never above, I'm still being corrected, and we're never being above correction. But they really guided me and directed me in those, especially in those early days. And we have worked together all these years, we could say through thick and thin. And God has blessed us together. And I would ask you tonight to pray much for the BCFC. It really, that church does need your prayers tonight. There is a great pressure to conform to what other churches are doing in Kenya. And it would take me a long time to tell you about the systems that there are out there. But I would ask you particularly to pray for BCFC that the Lord will keep them firm in their stand outside the camp of apostasy. And that the Lord will bless the up and coming generation, particularly the younger pastors. And that they would have conviction as the Reverend Kendagore has displayed over the years. He has been fearless in his stand for what is truth and for what is right. I remember him telling me about going to a school situation, a large school, and he was a parent at that school, and they were having a meeting and they were discussing something that they wanted to pass on the board of that school. And he stood up and he opposed it, and there was probably 100 parents there, and they just tutted at him and booed him because of the stand that he was taking. And I asked you to pray that God will raise up many more young pastors in Kenya that would have such a conviction in their stand for Christ. Do pray for the work of the BCFC Bible College. I think Reverend Patterson has mentioned it to you. And we do pray and trust in God's will again that the classes would resume next year in that college. And I do ask you to pray that God will put his hand upon young people who have heard the call and who are genuinely interested in doing the work of God. So it is a great door as we serve the Lord together. It's also a great door because of the variety of ministry that we are involved in. And the numbers that we're able to reach. I've made a DVD and I've entitled it, A Sower Went Forth to Sow. And really, that is what we're doing in Kenya. We're sowing the precious seed. And we have so many opportunities. And such a wide audience, really, a congregation there, as I think of the Sunday schools, where we are reaching over 2,000 children every Sunday. Now, I'm not saying that they would all be attending the Sunday schools, be present and on the register, but throughout all those Sunday schools, we are in contact with over 2,000 children. I thank God for the ministry of this academy, where we are assured that they're all there, present and correct, 600 children every day in the academy. And every morning we have an opportunity with them to share the word of God in the evening time, because 400 of them live with us. Now, when I say live with us, they're not living with me, but they're on the school compound, and we have devotions, and we have several scripture classes that we have with them. So it's a great door and a great opportunity for the Lord and for the word of God. And young people and children have come to Christ. Even this year, after the worship service, they're all there in the service on the Sunday morning. It's not that you have to go out and look for them. They're there with you. And several have trusted the Lord as their Saviour this year. And we do thank God for those opportunities. We also have nursery schools. Every BCFC, not every church, but a lot of BCFC churches would have nursery schools when children come Monday to Friday, 8 o'clock to 12, and they are taught the elementary things like reading, the alphabet and number work, that kind of thing. And also the teachers give a Bible lesson every day to those children. There are 400 of them. And we thank God for that opportunity as well. I would ask you to pray much for the academy. It is a big responsibility. And it's greater because it is a boarding school, because we have the care of the students 24/7. Not the small ones, but the older ones. And there's 400 in all that are boarding, living on the compound. We care for them. We feed them. We look after their health. Their health does concern us on many occasions. And I have to say that on many times we pray that God will keep them safe and God will keep them healthy. And there is a steady run of the school vehicle to the hospital. And thankfully nothing, no real emergencies, but malaria and typhoid is very common and it must be treated. And I always pray that nothing will happen to any of our students and that there will be no fatalities on the school. And I would ask you to pray that. I was reading this week in the news on the internet about things out there, and I was reading one incident that happened in another school. And this is examination time in Kenya. Our school year ends now in November, and the secondary school students are doing the national exam. And I was reading about in another school where a student was doing their exam. They were having headaches. And as would often happen, they're encouraged just to keep at the exam, and they give them Panadol and those things to relieve the headache. But she was rushed to hospital and she died because she wasn't treated. And I suppose she wanted just to do that exam. And when I hear that, I just pray, oh Lord, let it not happen to us. And I would ask you to pray that God will keep our students at the school. And do pray for the academics as well. It is important while we know that the priority is the spiritual, it is so important that our students would do well for the glory of God, and that they would be able to have opportunities even when they finish their education. Do pray for the discipline of the students. Do pray for the financial side of the school. It is a big financial burden. When I was at home before, I was always talking about a building program, and it seemed never ending. Well, it did end, and we thank God that the buildings are completed. But we have to maintain them. And the parents pay fees. And they do try. They do complain a lot because they don't have it. But they have to pay fees. They do promise that, well, I can't pay it tomorrow, but that maybe next week or the end of the month. And maybe we need the money today to buy the food. And all those needs are there. But we are able to manage, but just big bills like insurance bills and the vehicles and those things are a big burden upon us. And I would ask you to pray for God's help there in the school. Also, it's a great door because the Lord has given us a ministry in the bookshops in the BCFC. And we have a literature ministry, which we praise and thank God for. We have a small bookshop in Mokhtana, that's just near Kapanguria. And it is doing better than it's ever done before. We have a bookshop down in Kitale, and also we would have more customers now than ever we had before. But we have, again, a big financial burden in the sense that we have a heavy, hefty rent to pay every month of £500. And that really does drain our resources. But I would ask you to continue to pray for the bookshops, that God will prosper that work. We did try to open up a literature ministry in Kakamega. We had difficulties with regard to personnel, but what we learned there was that that would be really a good ministry down in Kakamega, which is just as big a town as Kitale. And I would ask you to pray that God would even in the near future be able to open up that literature ministry again. So for all those reasons, we do thank God for the door that he has opened in Kenya. But this verse of scripture says, and there are many adversaries. It says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. There are many difficulties in Kenya. And we're not there certainly because it's an easy work and an easy place to live in. It's not as easy to live in Kenya tonight for me as it was 30 years ago. And even though I've now got electricity, I didn't have it for 25 years. But you know, there are many other difficulties that are much more stressful than just not having electricity. And I would ask you to pray much for those. We think of the security within the country. I would ask you to pray much for the general election that's going to take place in March 2013. The last election 4 years ago did give us much cause for concern. And there was one occasion where we were wondering, how will we get out of Kenya if we have to go? And we were kind of cornered up in Kapanguria, just where there was rioting that had erupted in a specific area of the country. And we wouldn't have been able to get out. But thankfully, it didn't come to that. But now the next elections are coming. The Kenyans have said they don't want to see that type of destruction and loss of life ever again. I hope that is the case. And I would ask you to pray for the elections in 2013, that God will keep his hand upon the country and that the Lord will give us leaders who will have a heart for the country and for the people and not for themselves, as is often the case. We have often tribal feuds. We also have this issue of Al-Shabaab, which is an Islamic organization, terrorist organization, operating from Somalia. And we have had many incidents in the country, and of late they have been attacking churches, just throwing a grenade into a church on a Sunday morning and opening fire. Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's happening every Sunday, but I think they have attacked about six churches over the past 4 months. And they don't care whether it's a Roman Catholic church or a Protestant church. To them, it's Christian. And so I'd ask you to pray for God's protection upon the country, and that this Al-Shabaab issue will be dealt with and rooted out, as the Kenyan army tonight are fighting in Somalia. So do pray for that situation. I would ask you to pray that God will bring about a change in Kenya. There's something that is really killing the country and is eating the very heart out of the country, and it is a good country, and that's something called corruption. And, you know, it is so difficult to live in Kenya without giving a bribe just to get a basic service. And that is what is really hurting the country so much. And I would just ask you to pray that God will help our people to be firm and to stand for him and to say, no, I'm not giving any bribes. And this is just one of our main challenges. If you have a vehicle, you're driving it on the road, you're asked to give something to the police on the road. And all those type of things, I could talk much about them. They don't disturb us as missionaries so much. They have tried, but we become too tough for them. But they do disturb the local people. And the people who have nothing, not that we have a lot, but those people have less than us. And they're really disturbed and really tempted. Just an easy life. Give them something to get what you want. Before I left to come home in August, the Kenyan army came to recruit young men for the army. And you know, our young people, our young men were really looking for those positions because there is no employment. And when any opportunity arises, everybody runs for it. And I know that because they were down in the school looking for their leaving certificates and whatnot. And so they went there to be interviewed. Now, it's reported, I can't say that it is the whole truth, but it is reported that they told those young men, now we'll divide you into two groups. And the group who have a recommendation letter from your parents, you can come here. And those who don't have any, you can come to this site. Now, the recommendation letter for their parents was a hefty bribe. And those fellas, according to the reports, and they are quite strong reports, those young fellas would have been employed. The other ones who had nothing wouldn't be employed. Now, those are the temptations and the problems that we have in Kenya tonight and that the local people are facing. And I ask you to pray for our young people and pray that this issue of corruption would be dealt with. We don't know how, but that the Lord would raise up men who will really earnestly do something about it. I would ask you to pray much for the church life in Kenya. When we talk about adversaries, there is so much of error in Kenya in the Christian churches. And when the first missionaries went to Kenya over 100 years ago, people got saved. They threw off all their old ways, their old regalia of the old traditional religion. And there was a clear line of separation for the Lord. And people in those days really knew what it meant 100 years ago in Kenya, what it means to be saved. But tonight in Kenya, it is so difficult to know who is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so much now of error that is being infiltrated, particularly into the Ministry of Education. And if you read school books that we have in our school, you really are so concerned about what is happening. The old religion has raised its head yet again, and it never died, of course, but it's now infiltrating Christianity. Just a mix of everything in there together, and where is the truth? And then there is a cry from the ecumenical churches and churches that have fallen away from the truth. We want our own African religion, our African brand of Christianity. Now, what is that? There is no such thing as African Christianity or European Christianity or American Christianity. There is no such thing. But that is what is being preached and pushed even into the hearts and minds of our young people, that this is the type of Christianity that suits Africa. But that is against the truth of God's word, and that is what we're standing against tonight. There are many adversaries, and there are many problems there in the country, and I do ask you to pray. Of course, the greatest adversary of all is the old devil himself, and it's his job and his work to use all these things that I've mentioned to hinder the cause of Jesus Christ and the cause of the truth going forward. But you know, as we go back to this verse of scripture, or even to the previous verses, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me." You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't for running away. He was going to stay, and he was going to tarry at Ephesus, even though there were adversaries and problems. And we thank God for the grace to continue and to go on. And you do pray for us that the Lord will keep us firm in our stand for Christ, that the Lord will bless the BCFC and keep them strong in these difficult days when there are many that are against them, and that the Lord will bless his word as being sown every day there in Kapunguria, Kitale, and in Kakamega, and that the Lord will richly bless us all. And I just would like to close by saying to you all tonight, the door is open in Kenya, and the door is open even for others to go. And even as the word of the Lord came in the days of Isaiah, when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And the door is open there, and the Lord, perhaps he is saying tonight, whom will I send and who will go for us? I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight who could say, "Here am I, send me"? And I just want to assure you, if you're ready to go, the Lord will meet your every need, and he will equip you and help you even to serve him. Give your heart, step out in the will of God, and experience and know the blessing of God in the work of God on the foreign field. Thank you very much.